Welcome to another episode of Campus Life, the college half of our flagship podcast here at Campus to Canton. As always, I am Austin.
And this is Colin.
The freshman guide is live. I know we talked a little bit about it last week, let off the show, so we're not going to say the same things this week, but go ahead, guys, go over to campustocanton.com if you've never seen our freshman and supplemental draft guide before. Really cool look into players that we would expect to be available in your freshman supplemental drafts this year for your Campus to Canton leagues. And we have 150 freshmen, I believe, and then about 30.
151.
Oh, we did an odd one. Who's the odd one? Do we put somebody in late? Do I want to know?
I'll let you figure it out. It's somebody I wrote up.
Oh, it's Gauss, isn't it? Or Goss. Or
Goss, whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, Davion Gauss, Goss.
Davian
running
Goss.
Back going to UNC. Look at me testing my knowledge of the class. That shows you how much we really know about these guys. So yeah, go ahead. And there are about 30 non-freshmen in there as well. Players that are returning that are probably free agents in your league, although that could vary. So go ahead, check that out. Colin, we're not gonna beat this to death again. We talked a little bit about last week about how it's, you know, a project that's the first big project that we kind of started here that we said we wanted to be a yearly thing. So it's kind of near and dear to our hearts. I know you don't rank with us, but you do obviously have to watch some of the players because you're writing them up. I hope you're watching them at least. I mean, I can't prove it.
Yeah.
But allegedly.
Allegedly.
Is there a player this year that you either came around on or kind of faded for you over the last like year? Because so our grades lock in March 1st. Like we can't go into the site anymore and edit them. But that means that now, like literally I have my new spreadsheet open already for 2025 and I'll probably start in the next couple of weeks grinding those guys. So, a guy that moved either way for you.
Yeah, I think the LSU duo of Jelani Watkins and Kylan Billiot, both of those guys kind of moved down for me. Like initially, like kind of saw some athletic traits that I liked when I watched them leading into their senior year. So in the program league where we do like a lot of freshman recruiting, my school is LSU. So I always watch the LSU kit, like players, because you get a boost for that. So I watched those two guys and I kind of liked some things originally going into this year. And then when I rewatched them and wrote them up for this guide, first of all, I wrote them up for this guide because we do not have them very highly rated at all, but the services both have them as a top 30 wide receiver in the composite. So, you know, I felt that the audience might want to know why we were so low on them. And I wrote them up and I just came away very, very unimpressed. Billy, very much just an athlete at this point. He has almost no refinement as a wide receiver. Now he's a little newer.
I was going to say, in fairness to him, he's only been playing football like 2 years. So that kind of makes a little bit of sense.
It does. And then Watkins, I thought maybe he could be like a really fun slot player, but I don't even think he has like the route running ability to do that right now. He's really just a gadget guy. So those were two guys that dropped from, you know, where I kind of had them hoped at the beginning of the process and when we write word up the guide.
Yeah, that's a good answer. So I think my easy answer is Walker White, because I think he did play a little bit better as a senior. I think a lot of he was kind of as going through his junior year, as are a lot of these. I mean, I don't necessarily want to call him like athlete first, quarterback second, but he definitely had a lot of work to do as a quarterback. And I think he really has put in the work. I think the level of improvement that he showed, specifically from like just like a pure accuracy standpoint, leads me to believe that I think this is such a weak quarterback class. We think, I mean, obviously quarterback is a different beast, but we think this is such a weak class that I have no problem putting Walker White in my top five quarterbacks in the class and just saying, even if this guy never develops from where he is today, he's probably going to be a pretty good college fantasy quarterback at a big program. Mm-hmm. Going to have lots of weapons there. So White's probably a guy that I came around on, but if we're just talking like pure, like the number changed the most amount and it's not like relative to like, cause Walker White, I think I had him, you know, I ended up bumping him to basically like a mid 4-star. And I had him probably low 4-star going into last year. How about, I'm going to say, well, okay. No, I don't want to talk about him again. I was going to say, I think Gatlin Bear technically probably is the guy that bumped up the most for me.
Spoiler alert, he might be talked about later.
Oh, is he your freshman profile? You probably just typed that in as I was saying that here.
I literally typed it in, I don't know, a minute ago. You might be able to even hear my keys click, click, click.
You're a real piece of work, Mr. Decker. I'll say, I have a good answer. I don't know why I asked you this without a good answer.
Thought you were going to catch me.
So, okay. So how about this one? I think this is an interesting discussion. I moved Nathaniel Frazier up a lot. And I do think for some of these guys, he's a freshman running back who's going to Georgia. I don't know. I think so. Taylor Tatum is number one on three of the services. He might be number one on the other. And he's like a consensus top three back or roughly in the class. If you look at the composite, he's a hedge ranking for me at this point. And I have him RB8. And I think if this was a slightly beefier class, he probably wouldn't crack my top 10. There are certain guys, especially at running back, where sometimes I just don't really agree at all with the services. And I'm not really necessarily always afraid to nuke those guys, but some of these guys, when they just are like getting such effusive praise and then they like go to the All-Star games and play pretty well there, like there might just be things that we can't necessarily know or see. Like he's a really good receiver out of the backfield. He was not a good rusher at all in high school, like in terms of an efficiency standpoint. He was not even the most efficient running back on his team. And you might say, well, maybe the other guy that he's playing with is like a 5-star. He's like a mid 3-star or something in like next year's class. He's not a highly ranked player at all. So you kind of have to like always weigh these things. But Frazier's a guy that I ended up, I think I had him down in like maybe like the 15-20 range. And I did bump him up into my top 10 at the end of the day. I probably still am too low on him to really end up with a lot of him. Because I have him right there, you know, for some of these guys that we've talked about in the past. I have Cameron Davis above him, who's going to Florida State. I have Johan Cardenas, the Vanderbilt kid, which sounds wacky, but if you go watch this kid, he's like a 90-something percentile athlete. Jordan Marshall going to Michigan. So, like, those guys I have all in there with him, and I'd probably, like, I think I'll end up with a lot of those guys, but no Frazier. So I think he's a guy that probably has risen or changed the most for me. And I'm still not even sure if it's right. But I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, I think that is fair with Frazier. He is a guy that you have to definitely project. And I know some members of our recruiting team are comfortable with that and some are not as comfortable with that. So I think that he is a good answer for this one. And then my answer on the positive side, would also probably be Gatlin Bear. But again, we can talk about that one a little later.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, go ahead, check that out over at the website. $20 to just purchase it. If you are a yearly grandfather member, which means basically you were with us from the beginning, you know who you are if you're listening to this, or a yearly scholarship member, you choose one of our three guides that we do every year for free. So you can choose this one. Go ahead and do that. You have instructions in your email inbox if you want to. And then if you're a yearly,
if you did not get that email, let me know, reach out to me.
Yeah. At Campus Canton on Twitter, campuscanton@gmail.com, or at C2C Decker. Do not message me. I don't know anything about anything going on.
Yes. Yes.
I'm really out of the loop at the moment. So yeah, go check that out. All right, let's get into the show here tonight. So we're just going to do kind of a fun show. I want to get a little more data in our hands in terms of ADP and kind of our rankings before I really do some more deep dive episodes like we've done in the past few weeks. So we thought it would be fun to do a 2025 combine preview. Yes, you heard me correctly. As far as I know, we are the first 2025 combine preview on the planet. So good for us. We're just going to go through some guys. We're going to talk about, you know, bets for fastest 40 already at different positions, who we think is going to help themselves a lot, hurt themselves a lot. And then, like, you know, just some other, you know, thought-provoking questions. And we'll probably bring up lots of names along the way. Obviously, the names that we're mentioning aren't necessarily guarantees to come out. Some of them are third-year guys, so they could certainly go back to school. But everyone we're going to talk about here tonight is eligible. And I actually think, for the most part, I would bet on most of these guys coming out. So, yeah, you get a couple of surprises every year, but I think for the most part, we'll see most of these guys next year. All right, so without further ado, Colin, fastest 40 time is what we are going to lead off with. And I do just want to ask you, like, before we even mention the names of the guys that we think are going to run the fastest 40s next year, like, shout out Xavier Worthy. Mm-hmm. Do we think somebody can run as fast, like a 4.21 or a 4.22, like, you know, put him in that range there to threaten that?
Well, it's interesting that you ask, because The guy that I pick as the wide receiver who I think will run the fastest 40, one of his top player comparisons is Xavier Worthy.
Wow. Okay. That's crazy. Okay. Well, then, yeah, you know, but, why don't you just go ahead and talk about him then, Colin?
To answer your question, no. It's hard to predict anybody's going to break the combine 40 record, but the wide receiver that I think will run the fastest 40 time is Squirrel White, wide receiver for Tennessee, Marquarius White. Tiny guy, 5'10", 160-ish. So comparably size-wise to what Xavier Worthy ended up measuring in that. So both of those guys are small speedsters. And I think Xavier, obviously we don't know that Squirrel White is going to come out, but I think he's going to have a big year this year and then come out early. I could definitely see that happening. But if he's in this event, this is a guy that I expect to crush this 40 time. Again, Xavier Worthy, one of his top comps, he ran that 4.21, 4.22. One of his other top comps is Santana Moss, who ran a 4.31. And then the other one that he has in his top is Darnell Mooney, who's a little bit bigger, but he ran a 4.38. So I think that the guy you wrote is a good shout too. It's not somebody I thought about, but I think Squirrel White would be my betting favorite at this point.
Yeah. So not only did I think mine is objectively a better answer. I chose Monterey Baldwin as my guy. After you had put Squirrel White down, so you had fair crack at him if you wanted him, Colin.
I forget about Monterey Baldwin because we don't care about him for fantasy. I'm just looking at my rankings.
This is Felix Sharp's guy, which I assume that was a shot at Felix. Yeah. Felix really likes Monterey Baldwin because you know, of his speed, and I do think, you know, profiling him, I think a ceiling comp for him could be a Darnell Mooney kind of guy in the NFL, guy that you kind of care about a little bit, you know, fringy, matters on your roster kind of guy. Baldwin's at Baylor right now. If you go back and look, Xavier Worthy's best 100 meter time in high school, as far as I can tell, was a 10.65. Baldwin's was actually a 10.41. Now we see these guys, you know, get faster, get slower in college all the time. But I think he is just objectively faster than Worthy. Honestly, on the day, it kind of comes down to just, you know, does he get the perfect start? You know, how's he feeling that day? All that kind of stuff. But I do think Baldwin can get sub 4.25. And then I think you start having, you know, that's the conversation when it really starts right there. So I don't think any place can give you odds on it. I don't even know if any offshore places will already at this time of year. But I could see Baldwin breaking it or getting very, very close to it for sure. I think he'll be the closest. I think he'll run the fastest 40 at the offensive skill positions. I don't know the corners well enough to figure that.
I think that was a good call on Monterey Baldwin. Like I said, it's somebody I forgot about. I think he is objectively faster than Squirrel White. Not that I think Squirrel White was a bad call. I still think that he's one of the fastest in the class. He's definitely going to be in contention for that. But Monterey Baldwin is a good shout there.
Also, I will just add, for what it's worth, that I think that Squirrel White, of all the names we're going to actually discuss here, is probably the most likely to go back to school. And I don't know what I would put the odd, you know, 50-50, 60. I don't know what I would say, but I do think, like, of the names we're mentioning, I could see White going back. He might not get a super favorable NFL projection.
Yeah, I mean, I think I think this year is going to be a big year for them. Like, can Tennessee right the ship there on offense? And if they can, I think Squirrel White will be a big beneficiary of that. In a class next year that doesn't look as solid at the wide receiver position. It looks good at the top, but there isn't really a Squirrel White archetype type player that's a little bit further down. Maybe Isaiah Bond, but I mean, I agree. I could see him going back. I could also see him coming out.
Yeah, I don't think people appreciate how wild the series of events that took place this year was for us to get this loaded of a wide receiver class. Mm-hmm. Usually when you look at a class, you'll have, you know, your 3 to 6 guys at the top that are looking pretty good. Like, you have a pretty good idea of their profile. Then you maybe have like a handful, 5 to 7, like coin flip type of guys. And you're like, yeah, I bet half these guys essentially will play well and half of them probably won't. And that, you know, that kind of shakes it out as like a next tier or whatever. Almost all of the 50-50 guys this year boosted their stock as a junior or senior, which is just so freaking, like, it's basically a coin flip every year. Like, mm-hmm. you'll half and half.
Yeah.
So I think it's wild that we basically had every single freaking guy improve. And part of it, I think, is potentially the NFL being a little more forgiving on body type.
Yeah.
Now than they have been in the past. Whereas in, you know, previously, maybe some guys would have not even really been considered as legitimate options. And now you're getting a little bit wider spectrum of guy. But I mean, it's a big class, like size wise too. I mean, it's a lot of bigger guys.
Yeah. Yeah. There is a lot of bigger guys in this year's class. And I think in next year's class, at least the guys at the top are also, you know, you got Burden, you got Tet McMillan, Evan Stewart, not quite as big, but, you know, Squirrel White could find a role in that group.
For sure. For sure. All right. Running back, Colin, who do you think runs the fastest 40 time? They're actually, I mean, this year was Isaac Guarendo or whatever.
Yeah.
Who I could see people are talking about, like, rookie drafts for Dynasty as like a very late fourth round kind of stash guy. He's not very good at football. I don't know if these people actually have like watched him play. So that's what you always have to worry about, especially at running back. It's always some random dude that you're not really that familiar with. And I think part of the problem is that a lot of the good running backs don't run at the combine anyway.
Yeah.
So depending on, you know, if they really need it or not. But so who do you think runs the fastest? I think there were a couple options here that I looked at, but it's probably going to be somebody obscure.
Yeah. Yeah. I think out of the top guys, because like you said, somebody could come out of nowhere. It's a guy that we don't really care about for fantasy purposes. So, and again, like when I was looking,
he won't run that fast.
He won't, but I thought about it. No, I looked at my rankings and it was like kind of just trying to come up with the name in there based on this. So this isn't like the deepest of dives, but I think Nick Singleton is going to be a candidate to run one of the fastest 40 times. If you made me like bet on it right now, no, I don't think he's going to run the fastest 40. But out of the guys that I'm looking at on my list, he's the guy that I think will run the fastest 40. And that's in my rankings. And he has a 0.99 athleticism score, a 0.96 speed score. He ran a 10.89 100 meter dash in high school, which at his size, you know, 6 foot, 215 pounds or so, that's phenomenal. His closest athletic comps, Saquon Barkley's on the list, who ran a 4.4 flat. Jonathan Taylor's on the list, who ran a 4.39. So I could see him running in that range, in a 4.4 flat, 4.39 range. So somebody will probably run faster than that. You'll get that Isaac Guarendo. You know, somebody along those lines. But it's out of the guys we care about, Nick Singleton, I think, is the answer.
So I thought of this name as I'm sitting here, and now I'm trying to verify because, okay, so here's, I'm thinking that AJ Green could be a guy that would compete for this title.
Oh,
AJ okay. Green is now running back. He was at Arkansas. Now he's at Oklahoma State. The problem is not only are there a billion AJ Greens, there has been an AJ Green at Oklahoma State before. So trying to figure out if this is this AJ Green's high school track time is proving very, very difficult. So I'm trying to cross reference. This has to be him because there's 2021 outdoor. If this is him and this is true, he ran a 10.38 at one point. So I think he's got a good chance to do it if he comes out. He probably he might not, but that he's a crazy athlete, so I could see it. The name I put down was Donovan Edwards. You know, I think I don't have his former track times in front of me here, but I do think that he's one of those guys where I just think he's going to strategically have to lean into being a smaller back, lean into not being a three down back, and come into the combine light and running very fast. I think that's the path for him. I think that's what he'll end up doing, unless he just shocks me and shows up at 212 this year and runs well between the tackles, but that seems unlikely. So I think he's an answer. I think he's not a good enough back where he won't run at the combine. I don't think Nick Singleton will run at the combine. I thought about like Raheem Sanders. I do not think Raheem Sanders will run at the combine. There were a couple other names that I kind of was like, could he not? I'm not exactly sure. But I do think Edwards like fits perfectly into like this narrow whatever where like I think he will run at the combine.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that Edwards is a good call there too. That's somebody that I was looking at. I was also looking at Raheem Sanders. He reportedly is down was 12 pounds.
More than that. Because he was over 240. I think he's down like 17 pounds or something. He's down to 225. It's what we wanted.
Yeah, he's down to 225. If he is 225 and keeps that weight off, then yeah, I think we could see him. See him tear up the combine, but if he's anywhere close to what he was last year, did not look nearly athletic enough. So I could see Raheem Sanders having a really good performance. I could also see him having a really bad performance. So
thank you for that. You're could welcome. You see him being somewhere in between?
Cover
all your bases.
No, nope. It's either really good, really bad. No in between.
Okay. You heard it here first. All right. Who's going to help themselves the most next year at the combine, Colin? I think this is a little subjective. I think we're going to have to do some explaining here as we go through why we think a particular player will help themselves. Go ahead. You lead us off here. Start off with your running back you think is going to help themselves the most.
Yeah. So running back I think is going to help themselves the most at the combine is Ollie Gordon. And I say Ollie Gordon because I think – There's definitely his stands out there right now. He's going to get, you know, he has all this production. I said last week or 2 weeks ago, I said recently, I think Ollie Gordon is going to take a step back in production. I don't think it's going to be a massive step back, but I think it's going to be a step back in production. So you're going to start to get some question marks about him. And I think he's going to go into the combine. And he's going to answer those questions. I think he's going to, you know, measure at a good weight, probably in like 6 foot. You know, 205, 210 in that range. But I think he's also going to have a good performance. He's not going to blow people's minds at the combine, but he has a 0.76 athletic score. So 76th percentile athletic score, 78th percentile speed score in our database. And his top comparisons provide actually a pretty interesting range here. So his top comparison is Devonta Price from FIU a couple years ago, two years ago. I've ran a 4.38 at the combine. I don't see him hitting that number. Todd Gurley is also on his list of athletic comparables, ran a 4.52. I think he's a little faster than that. Tyrion Davis Price is the other one on the list who ran a 4.48. I could see that being his range. I could see him running around a 4.48. So if he does that at that size, I think he's going to get a little bit of the shine back that maybe he'll lose during this season.
Yeah, I think that's fair. Those are interesting comps. That
right? It's a weird range, mix, very eclectic. Really
I like some of those guys that kind of have a broader range, although the ones that are like, you know, eight gods are also very, very interesting.
Yes, those are always funny.
So I think the cheating answer actually is Travion Henderson, assuming that he decides to run. And he might not, because I think he's going to have a pretty good season as long as he stays healthy. But I do think that if Henderson goes and tests some stuff at the combine and tests well, I think he can help himself the most, because I think he can be a first round guy. So that's one name that I'm just circling. But I think that name is kind of cheating. So the guy that I'm actually going to go with is Jaden Ott. And in the past, I've been a little skeptical of Jaden Ott. I'm still a little skeptical of him as a football player. But I think he's a pretty good athlete. We have him at like a 60th percentile guy, but I think he's a little faster than whatever numbers we have on him at this juncture. You know, I think he's a little undersized. So he's one of those guys that, you know, can kind of surprise a little bit, because they show up a little bit light and then they kind of nail a lot of the drills. I think he'll do well in some of the pass catching stuff. And a guy who I think, you know, going into the offseason, I could see him talked about as like a third or fourth round guy and ends up going like late second or something if he has a good combine. I think that would kind of could kind of be his range. I view him as like a third round guy right now. You know, I think he could help himself with a good day. He's a prime candidate. Well, I don't think he actually will go back to school, because Cal's kind of bad, even though they were semi-interesting last year. Like, I think that will kind of, as a running back, I think he probably wants to get out of that situation.
Yeah, I could see him wanting to get out of that situation as well. But maybe he transfers and goes somewhere else, which actually, honestly, probably would have thought he would have done that this year, but who am I? No, I think Jaden Ott's a good answer. I think he falls into that bucket with Ollie Gordon of guys who have a little bit of buzz about them, at least in like the fantasy circles right now. Maybe the NFL buzz hasn't quite caught up, but with a big combine, I think they could solidify themselves some nice draft capital.
Yeah. Wide receiver that's going to help themselves the most, Colin.
Yeah, wide receiver that I think is going to help himself the most at the combine is one of the easiest answers I had on here, honestly, and that's Berrian Brown, the wide receiver at Kentucky. Look, we have been very high on Berrian Brown for a while. A lot of people in the fantasy community like Berrian Brown, but we have not. And he had a very nice freshman year by freshman year standards. But he did not really follow that up with a great year this past year. I think part of that is quarterback play. And it's not going to get any better, I don't think, in 2024 with Brock Vandergriff likely under center. We don't think very highly of him. So I could see Berrian Brown disappointing from a production standpoint again this year. And if he has back-to-back years of production, disappointing production, I could probably see him transferring somewhere else rather than coming out. But he is eligible. So if he does come out, he's gonna blow up the combine. And people are going to start talking about him. He is a 0.82 athletic or an 82 percentile athletic score, 99th percentile speed score. So when you're looking at his athletic...
Do you think he's faster than Squirrel White? And if so, why didn't you put him as your other answer?
I think he is very close to as fast as Squirrel White. If they put him in a foot race, I don't know. I feel like Squirrel White would win it, though.
I think Berrian would smoke him.
You think so?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, if you start looking at his at Berrian Brown's athletic comparisons on our tool, which you kind of have to play a little bit of 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon here. Because like a lot of his comps are guys who are still in college for Berrian Brown. So if you want to look at some of the NFL guys, Yazeed Haynes is Berrian Brown's top comp still in college. If you look up Yazeed Haynes, you get some other NFL guys on the list here that you can kind of go off of. And on that list, you have, Darius Slayton, wide receiver at with the Giants now. He ran a 4.38. You have Amir Smith-Marset, wide receiver from Iowa. He got drafted by Minnesota. He ran a 4.42. I think Brown is faster than both of those guys by a little bit. But I could see him running in that, you know, 4.36 to 4.38 range.
Yeah, I think he's... I think it'll be close between him and Baldwin. I could see them both running sub 4.25 next year.
Wow. Sub 4.25.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think Real Athletics or whatever had him as the second fastest ball carrier in college last year, and he has a 10.49 100 meter in his back pocket from before. So just slower than Baldwin. I think they'll be pretty close.
Okay. Okay. 4.25 would shock me. It would shock me when anybody runs that fast, to be honest, but
I'm less shocked when guys have a track background because they don't have to train on the start is what gets a lot of these guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's true. If you like, I think JT Sanders would have actually run like a pretty decent 40. His start wasn't very good. Like from like, I'm not a track guy, but like from like everyone, like his start was not good. Like from a technical perspective, I couldn't like point to you and say like, oh, you know, his hand, he should have done this. But, and so I think these guys that have an extensive track background, I think it suits them very, very well. So guys like Baldwin, like Brown ran a ton of
like
track.
Like me.
Yes. Like you. Did you run track? What'd you run?
I did. Mm-hmm. I ran the 100 and 200.
No way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mostly because I was too lazy to run the 800.
You ran the 100? Yeah. I've seen you run.
Hey, I used to be faster. my start, though, interestingly enough, was my best part. My track coach said, if you could finish the way you start, you would be one of the fastest guys on this team. It's like, unfortunately, your last
95 was as good as... Yeah.
He said 80, but thanks. Yeah,
that's amazing.
Yeah, that's amazing. Mostly I was too lazy to run the 800 because I was also a soccer player, for anybody who may not know. So I was in better shape conditioning wise, but in the off season I liked to just not have to work that hard.
I never ran track, but as you know, from soccer training, having to run like 800s, oh man, they are painful.
Mm-hmm.
There's very few things that I've done in my athletic life that were as painful as running like 800 repeats. Oh.
The 800 and the 400 are the worst two events.
400, I think it might be a little bit worse because you basically have to sprint the whole time. Whereas mm-hmm. 800, there's like kind of like the middle, like 250 or whatever, that you kind of coast a little bit before you pick it back up. I don't know. They both suck horrendously. Yeah.
Well, that's what I was thinking too. Cause like in the 800, you do have that little bit where you can coast, but if you're running it at a high level, like you're not really coasting that much, honestly, cause everybody else is hauling. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I never did track. My wife did track. And so she likes to watch all this stuff like on TV and stuff. She really likes watching like the marathon and stuff though. So.
Okay. Yeah. Evan did track, my brother. He did.
Yeah, I didn't know that. And actually, unlike what did he probably ran the 400, 800, or 200.
He ran the 8 and the mile. Eight.
Yeah, that surprised me.
That dude, he was good. He was good.
That guy could not run for years and then show up and run like a 20-minute 5K. I hate him so much. I hate him so much. I ran a 5K. This is totally off topic. I ran a 5K with him in maybe 2019, mm-hmm. 2018. Had it been 2018 because it was when mm-hmm. I was running like the half and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And we did this course that was awful. It was like a straight uphill for like 2/3 of it. It sucked. And your brother just sat on, I had been running a lot. And he hadn't. And he just sat on my butt. You were there too, but you were like way back.
I was way back.
You didn't see this happen.
I did not.
He sat on my butt the whole race and just kicked. I was like, you are such a little jerk.
It's that track background. He got that kick.
Apparently. All right. Wide receiver who helps himself the most. You talked about Barry and Brown.
Yours is an interesting answer here.
Yeah. I was thinking about some of these kind of bigger wide receivers tend mm-hmm. to, I think, help themselves a little bit more because they kind of come in and run, you know, they weigh 195 and then they run like a 4.38 and everyone's like, oh, this, you know, the size adjusted speed, it's outrageous. So I was kind of looking at that category of player. I chose Elik Ayemenor the Stanford wide receiver, and he doesn't have to come out. We'll see. He was pretty good down the stretch last year. If he picks back up where he left off, I think at worst he'll be like a third round guy. So we don't have him as like a insane athlete in our database, but he's not awful either, especially from a speed perspective. We have him currently listing at 6'2", 210 is what we have him at. We have him at an 81st percentile speed score. Some guys that are similar to him. Terrence Williams is and Romeo Dubs are the only NFL guys that really jump out at me here. Texas freshman Ryan Wingo is also on there. But he, I think if he, I think I could see him running like very low 4.4s and doing pretty well in like the drills and kind of drawing a lot of attention to himself. So I think he's, I don't know, other than like, you know, kind of some athletic background and some just like gut, I don't have a better answer than that. But I could see him having a good combine next year.
I think that's a really interesting one. I can see that as well. I think he could be a guy who, you know, gets maybe a little bit of buzz if Stanford picks it up a little bit this year. And then people will turn on the tape of him just absolutely manhandling Travis Hunter. You'll get a little bit of buzz there. And then if he comes into the combine and runs kind of like what you thought, then I could see that. I could see that.
Other guys that like I considered like in that archetype, for what it's worth, I thought about like Trey Harris, Rashad Owens, some of those guys. Trey Harris, apparently, according to our numbers, is not that athletic. And Rashad Owens, I just think he has such a not great profile that fantasy people at least won't be on him. You know, maybe the general public will think Xavier Leggett, maybe. Because Owens has like a 94th percentile burst score. In our data set. So it should be interesting regardless. I also did put Chris Tyree. I think Chris Tyree can show up and test freaking crazy well at wide receiver, which he is now. Where's he at? Virginia, I believe.
Yes. Yeah, he is, which I was just going to say. I mean, is he wide receiver? Who knows?
I think that's what they said there. He's only playing wide receiver for them moving forward now. So
they listed him as that.
I think that's like his, I don't think he's going back to running back. No. The reverse Tyrone Tracy. How often do we see a wide receiver go from, or like a guy go from wide receiver to running back? Like never happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
Randall Cobb, did he do that train? I don't even know if that was his transition in college or not, but Tyrone Tracy is super interesting to me because of that.
Yeah. I think that's fair. He came out this year, I think, right?
Tracy did. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I retweeted his, I think his RAS card from the weekend.
Okay.
Let me see if I can find it here. Yeah, he tested as a 9.75 RAS. 45th out of 1,765 running backs.
Okay.
And his stuff wasn't even like amazing. Let's see. What did he weigh in at actually? 5'11", 209. Wow. That's better size than I would have thought. That's
impressive. Yeah. Maybe watch out for Tyrone Tracy.
Yeah, interesting. His jumps, jumps and his runs were pretty good. Interesting.
Well, I mean, he was athletic. He was good with the ball in his hand as a receiver. So
yeah, that's an interesting move for sure there for him. Who hurts themselves the most, Colin?
Running back wise, here I thought this is again was a fairly easy answer for me, and that's Phil Maffa, running back at Clemson. You know, with him complimenting Will Shipley very well and putting up a lot of production in the CFF space, in the fantasy space, you're getting a little bit of buzz around him. I think that'll kind of continue heading into this year. I think he'll have a very nice year. Like we talked about with Clemson's backfield, it's really him and nobody else there. So I could see him handling, you know, 230 touches and putting up a lot of production there. And, you know, heading into the combine then, what's that going to mean for him? Well, I mean, he's 6'1", 230 pounds. So he's a big back, 43rd percentile speed score. another guy you have to kind of play set 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon with to get some like athletic comps that like kind of stand out to you, because a lot of his guys are in the high school, his top comps. But his top comps, if you, you know, play again, the 6 degrees thing here, Tony Hunt, former Penn State running back, ran a 4.68. Kerry Carter, a former Stanford running back, also ran a 4.68. And then Dimitri Flowers, the Oklahoma, I'm pretty sure he was a fullback a couple years ago, 4.83.
Those are really the best comps you could find. Sorry.
out of players that are in the NFL, yeah.
Interesting.
They're the best ones that I could find. But yeah, so I mean, I think he's firmly in the 4.6 range. I think he's going to basically do the same thing Audric Estime did. I could see him pretty much mirroring that and then really hurting his draft stock.
Interesting. Do you think Omarion Hampton's going to have the same problem? Slightly off topic, but not.
I was looking at him and considering him, but his athletic scores in our database are actually like decent. We'll see what he actually ends up running. You know, it's, a lot of this is based on like high school
stuff. Didn't he have like solid times though?
Omarion Hampton has a 69th percentile speed score. And some of his comps, Darrington Evans. Yeah, so that's not quite as good as what I thought it was.
Estime had a 0.54 speed score. So, we take these numbers are basically either if we can get verified track times for them, and then if not, some on-field speed stuff. And some guys in Estime's comparisons, Rudy Johnson, actually the former Bengals running back, was in there. Alex Barnes, who was combine like Tarzan, play football like Jane, I guess is how the saying goes. Alex Barnes was on.
Look like Tarzan, play like Jane.
Yeah, essentially. And then none of the other guys in there are really. And Darius Anderson from TCU, if people remember him. Not a lot of interesting names there.
With Omarion Hampton, to answer your question, Isaiah Davis is one of his top athletic comps. The running back from South Dakota State this year.
Interesting.
He ran a 4.57.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
So
okay, that's close to 4.6. That's about what I expect out of Hampton, quite frankly.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I that feels about right. But I feel like Maffas are going to be worse.
Yeah. I put Ashton Gentry, and it's going to get me in trouble with people. look, I think if anyone has the, I don't want to say authority, like the background to say this, I think it's me. The person who's probably been the highest on Ashton Gentry, other than his family and his coaches, since the day that since his senior year of high school, 90 something ranked back in the class. I had in top 15. Loved this kid. He is going to test a lot closer to Bucky Irving than people want to believe today. And that is not a bad, like Bucky Irving's testing was not like awful. But when you start testing subpar and you're not that big, it starts becoming an issue. So I do think that Gentry is going to have that. He's going to have the stink of the G5 on him. I think he's going to be a faller through the process. And I think the combine is going to be a big part of that. I would guess like a 0.4 RAS or a 4 point whatever RAS. So, you know, not awful, but coupled with the fact that he's no heavier than 205, and I would be shocked if he's that heavy. Like I think there's going to be some issues there with the profile. And I love the kid. I love the kid, but I've always viewed him as, you know, you're squeezing a ton of CFF value potentially out of him, and then whatever happens, happens. And I think whatever happens could be worse than people are projecting today, which is why I refuse to put him super, super high in my running back rankings right now. I have him outside. I have him RB14. And that probably feels a little generous. There just aren't a lot of high-end Debbie running backs in college right now. So that he's probably a beneficiary of that. If this was, for instance, a stronger freshman running back class, he would probably be lower by a couple spots, probably closer to like 18, 19.
Yeah, I have him as my RB13. So I'm right there with you. And again, a lot of that has to do with the lack of established higher end guys in the class. And these are my C2C rankings. So, you know, you have to factor in that production. When you are just looking strictly at my Devy rankings, I have him as my RB20 right now. So it drops a little bit lower. So I'm with you. I think that he's not going to test quite as well as some other guys in the class. And as much as we love Ashton Jeanty, we've, you know, loved him for a long time. And I think he's going to absolutely smash next year too at Boise State. That isn't really going to matter as much to NFL teams. You know, I don't think they're going to care as much about that Mountain West production. So I think that was a good call.
Wide receiver that's going to hurt themselves the most.
This is one that I had to dig a little bit for here, but I like the answer that I ended up coming up with here. And that's Tez Johnson, the wide receiver at Oregon. I don't necessarily know how high the NFL is going to be on him. He did finish this year very well, with Bo Nix, his brother at quarterback, and he's coming back. He gets Dylan Gabriel, who is very competent, a college quarterback in his own right. I think Dylan Gabriel is going to keep this offense going. I think they can support two wide receivers like they did last year and like they traditionally do in a Will Stein offense. So being Evan Stewart and Tez Johnson, I think Tez Johnson is still going to have nice college production this year. And at Oregon, especially with them moving to the Big Ten, you're going to get some eyes on him. But Tez Johnson is 5'10", which I don't necessarily know I believe that, but that's what we have him listed at in our database. I think he's probably a little shorter than that. 160 pounds. Again, he might be even a little lighter than that. And at 5'10 and 160 pounds, you better run like Xavier Worthy. You better light up this combine. And I don't see quite that level of speed. Now, his closest athletic comps are... So a lot of these guys we've had comps are that are like still in college. His comps all old, all like from the 90s. Marcus Grant from Houston ran a 4.66. Scott Miller from UCLA, he ran a 4.62. I don't see him being that slow, but I think he's a high 4.4, low 4.5 type guy. And at that size, it's going to take him almost completely off of players' boards or of teams' boards. So I don't see Tez Johnson having a good combine. And then I think he's just going to kind of fade away.
Yeah, he's a guy that I actually don't really have any athletic expectations. I know he was on the Bruce Feldman's freak list maybe 2 years ago. I don't know if he was on this year as well or not. As like a lower body strength or something, like his like squat ability or something like that. So I don't really know what to expect from him, but I do think he'll have a good statistical season. So my answer is actually going to surprise people, I think. But this is a guy who I think has just been after J. Michael Sturtevant, who after kind of that first kind of breakout year has really been on a downward trend. I just don't think he's very good at football. I think he's going to struggle in a lot of the drills. I know we have some really good athletic numbers for him, including a 95th percentile speed score. But that also means that he's coming in with pretty solid expectations. So if he doesn't meet those, I think he's going to kind of get he's kind of going to be toast. I really think he's kind of a tight hipped, like lateral guy. Like there's a million of those guys that come into the NFL that are big, just 6'2", 6'3". And I just think that's the kind of guy he is. So I think he's going to go to the combine next year and not do very well, especially like the shuttle and stuff. If he runs those, I think those are going to be, those drills will be a nightmare for him, quite frankly.
Yeah, I could see that as well. My only issue with J. Michael Sturtevant as the answer there is I don't know that anybody is really going to care about J. Michael Sturtevant. They had a terrible year this year. I don't think that offense gets that much better this year. So I don't think he's going to have a very good year again this year either.
Yeah.
But I could be wrong.
Yeah, could see it. Who knows? In case we weren't clear on this also, if we're saying that we think a guy's going to not do very well at the combine, I would think about selling them now if you can. Before the combine. Not that we're necessarily saying we're going to be 100% right on these, but I do think these are some Debbie guys that are, you know, questionable.
Yeah, I mean, our running backs we talked about, Maffa and Jeanty, are both guys who are probably going to put up some nice CFF production for you, but So, you know, maybe don't sell them right now. You know, let them maybe win you an NFL or a college championship, and then sell them almost immediately after the season.
I mean, the trick really, and this is like, it's like such a stupid no-duh statement. The trick for the Moffas and the Genties of the world is that you're not drafting them this year. Right. You would have drafted them a year or two ago. And I know we talk all the time about how difficult it is to project, and now we're kind of narrowing the scope of how far out we're looking, especially for guys that we deem quote unquote CFF only and all these kinds of things. But there are also, you know, 7 to 10 bench spots on a roster, I would wager, that are probably going toward not particularly great players. So, you know, the Moffas of the world are kind of the guys that tend to be sitting in that bunch. And I do think there's room for a couple of them. You know, you can strategically stash a couple of these guys. So just throwing that out there, you know, that, again, stupid comment, easier said than done. But, you know, you kind of take some of these guys when they're cheap and sit in them for a year or two. And that's where the real value comes in. I'm not particularly jazzed to take Ashton Gentry in the third round or whatever he's going in right now. That doesn't feel great to me. The third round probably feels right. I don't have the ADP in front of me, but that doesn't feel great.
Yep, I'd agree with that.
Two quick questions for you, Colin, and then we'll do our freshman profiles here. This year, we only had one quarterback run, Sam Hartman. So whatever you think about Sam Hartman, shout out to him for doing all the drills this year. It's like the only quarterback to do a bunch of them. Seriously, it's a big pat on the back, or at least the only one that did the 40. Do we get more than one quarterback that runs next year?
More than one quarterback who runs next year. I'm going to take the over. Yes, guys that I could see running because they want to help their stock.
I want to know if the name, there's one name that comes to my mind right away.
Okay, Haynes King.
Oh, wasn't going to be mine.
Okay, Will Howard.
Well, also was not going to be mine, but I could see that.
All right, well, now you have
There is one quarterback I'm thinking of in particular who I think is a very competitive guy, and while he does not rely on his legs, they are a big part of his profile. Mm-hmm. And I think I could see him wanting to run regardless. Like, I think he'll run well.
Milroe will run if he comes out.
I don't know. He could be one of those guys that says he doesn't want to run. He doesn't have anything to prove.
That maybe. Who's your guy? Who's your guy?
Dart. I think Dart runs. Yeah.
Okay. I was thinking Dart. I think he could run well.
Were you thinking Dart?
I was, but I didn't think you would think Dart.
Yeah, he just strikes me as the kind of guy that's like, yeah, like, hell yeah, I want to run. That's the kind of guy he strikes me as, competitive, fiery.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, so I'm going to take the over. I could see Dart running, but like I said, I think that Haynes King and Will Howard will want to run. They'll want to showcase that a little bit. And I think you'll get a couple of these other guys, maybe like a KJ Jefferson, who wants to run and just really showcase.
With the tight ends. Not a quarterback.
Maybe
like him going to UCF is him waving the white flag, right?
I would think Daquan Finn runs. So I think yes,
I do legitimately think that there could be a Jefferson position switch between like the end of the season and the combine, if I had to guess, but who knows. Who doesn't participate any position? You know, this year we had, you know, Marvin Harrison who didn't, Malik Nabers ended up not doing anything. I think like he was supposed to weigh in and stuff and didn't, which kind of weird to me. I don't know who doesn't participate this year.
I would say probably Raheem Sanders seems like the type of guy who's going to be a pro day guy, like we kind of talked about a little bit. I could see Trevor Etienne also coming out and trying to be a pro day guy because I don't think he's not slow, but he's also not that fast.
Yeah.
So he might not want to run there, might want to run in a more favorable environment. Now, maybe he does like another event or two in there. But in terms of running, I don't think he'll run. Quinshon Judkins.
I was going to say Quinshon's the number one name that jumps to the top of my head. There's 0% chance that guy does anything at the combine next year. Zero.
Yeah, I'm not going to say zero. I'm not a big like a 0% chance at anything guy. If somebody gives you 10,000 to one odds, you take it. John Cougar Mellencamp wins an Oscar, I'm going to be rich. But yeah, no, I think it's odds are he's not going to run.
Yeah, I think there's a 0% chance that he does anything. Especially with all the stories that keep coming out about him. I'm like, nah, mm-hmm. I don't think he doesn't seem like a combine guy to me. He doesn't really seem like a plays well with others in the workout type dealio kind of guy. So
could see that.
Who knows? Yeah, those are Jardikins was the initial name to me. Okay. I could also see Evan Stewart not doing any testing at the combine. And I could also I don't know what Tet's gonna test at. Mm-hmm.
That's fair.
He might be like a guy that tries to kind of game it a little bit with the pro day combine stuff. But I think he's a bad athlete, but those tall build up guys a little bit tend to, play around with it a little bit. Who knows?
I get that. I can see that.
All right. Well, that's your official 2025 combine preview. Don't say we didn't warn you when we get here next year. Freshman profiles. We've each got one. Colin, take it away.
So my freshman profile, we teased a little bit at the beginning. It is Gatlin Bear, the wide receiver from the state of Idaho going to Oregon. And Gatlin Bear is the best recruit, the highest rated recruit ever from the state of Idaho. He's the only one who's ever been inside the top 50. We also alluded to it a little bit throughout the show, but Gatlin Bear is an electric, electric athlete, a 99.2 percentile athlete, a 22.8 miles per hour. And we were talking about different 100 meter times. He ran a 10.15 100 meter at the regional USA Track and Field Junior Olympic Championship. He also competed at that against Nicholas Harbor and ran faster than Nicholas Harbor. Now, granted, Bear is 6'1.5", 194. Nicholas Harbor is, 6'5", 230.
Oh, like an actual sprinter's build.
Yeah. Not,
what an idea that maybe Nick Harbor should think about.
Yeah. So, yes, Gatlin Bear is an electric athlete. I was actually looking up his athletic comps quickly on here. There's not really Tyquan Thornton, I think, is a pretty good one who ran a 4.28. I could see Bear running in that range. But as a player, Bear is electric with the ball in his hands. And very, very fast, very good first step. Sudden athlete, makes defenders miss in the open field. You also see that suddenness and that quickness in and out of his route breaks. I think he also effectively attacks DB's leverage. I think we saw more of that this year as a senior than as a junior. And that's one of the reasons why he was a big riser for me is before I thought he was mostly an athlete. And I saw some refinement this year. In his senior year as a actual wide receiver. So I think he has the makings of becoming a high-level route runner. He had a decent route tree in high school as well. It wasn't just, vertical routes, comeback screens, things like that. But Bear also has pretty good ball skills, tracks the ball well over his shoulder, adjusts to passes. Not very strong at the catch point. I think he needs to be a little more aggressive there. But the biggest negative with Gatlin Bear is the 2-year mission trip that he's going on. So he's going to be off the field until 2026. Man, that is tough to stomach as a draft pick. But if you can take him and you can be patient, I think Bear has a very, very high ceiling. And I think he'll be an exciting NFL prospect.
Yeah, it is a tough projection overall. Are you going to take him at all this offseason, Colin?
I will take him so that way I just at least have him in one place somewhere. But I'm not going to force it. It's so tough to waste 2 years. I mean, Nelly, who does some shows for us here, formerly of the Debbie Marketplace, talks all the time about not wanting to have zeros on your bench. And if you have Bear, you're getting a zero for 2 years minimum.
I wonder if some leagues will even let you, like, I don't even know if he'll ever show up on Fantrax. I wonder if some leagues will even let you draft him. It's actually an interesting rule conundrum that I hadn't really considered until right now.
Yeah, that's fair.
Not technically in college. So that consult with your commissioner in your rule book before making that selection. I chose LSU running back Caden Durham as my guy. And that depth chart potentially got a little thinner as of late, although we're not, again, allegedly there was murder. We're not sure, attempted murder. We're not sure. Trey Hawley, I think, is the guy. But Caden Durham is 5'9", 195. That's what they had him listed at on the services. That's what LSU has him listed at right now. He's from Duncanville, Texas. And like I mentioned, he is headed to LSU. Durham is kind of, you know, I think there's going to be like a comp that a lot of people make now for a, you know, 195-ish back. Well, he does remind me a lot of James Cook, but I do think he's a little more explosive than Cook is. You know, Cook is, he doesn't break a ton of huge explosive runs, but he's really good in the passing game. Like, I think Durham can do all that, but I do think he has kind of a little bit of a gear that Cook does not have. I do think that we'll see him score several long touchdowns in his collegiate career, just due to that long speed, that burst that he has, kind of the first, second, third step. He's not awful between the tackles, though. And I do think he has the frame to maybe get a little over 200. I don't think he'll ever be a guy that we're looking at and saying that he has ideal size, but I think the frame is enough to get a little bit bigger. You know, I think because of his size, he's not really not a power guy. You know, goal line touches, I don't think will ever really be his thing. But I do think the receiving game kind of makes up for it a little bit. From a technical perspective, I actually don't think he's amazing right now, but that's kind of what makes him exciting, because I think if he just cleans up like footwork and stuff, you know, really kind of his approach to the line of scrimmage right now is really, really not great at times. Can kind of either not be patient enough, not set himself up enough to kind of wait for that hole to open up, and then he's running into the back of his guy, or, you know, he's already kind of leaning one way. So if he kind of cleans up some of that stuff, plays a little more under control, can get a little bit of patience behind the line of scrimmage, I think that we can be talking about a guy that's a day two draft pick a couple of years from now. I have him as probably more of like a day three guy right now, just due to the size, but I do think he can be a contributor there within, you know, by his sophomore year. I think that he can be getting some touches. I think he does complement what they have there now well, Caleb Jackson, you know, the other guys that are on the roster. So I'll be interested to see exactly how they use him at LSU. They haven't really had a smaller back there in a little bit. I mean, I guess CEH, but it's been a few years and that was a different coaching staff. So I'll be interested to see exactly how Durham develops over the next few years. But I think he's squarely a guy that I'm considering like round four, late round three of freshman supplemental drafts, especially if I kind of skip all the other top running backs as they go by the first and second round. I think he's a really interesting player. I actually didn't look up his athletic stuff with us, but I bet it's pretty good.
Yeah, I would bet it's pretty good here as well. But I agree with a lot of what you said there on Durham. I think that he'll have a role and he'll be able to carve one out pretty quickly in this backfield that is all of a sudden thinning out, with Diggs gone and some other guys that had been stalwarts on that roster who are also gone now. It's like really kind of him and Caleb Jackson. And I think he could compliment Jackson. Looking at his top athletic comps, he's got LaMichael James from Oregon, Jadon Blue are up there.
There you go. Both
Keelan, you know, Keelan Keelan Robinson.
Yeah.
So
throwback, well. Throwback. Jeff Demps is on there too. The former Florida guy. Interesting. But yeah, these are all, you know, he's a basically 70th percentile athlete. And part of that's because we don't have track times for to measure burst agility power. We just have his speed, right. But his speed is 97th percentile. So, fast guy there overall. That's going to do it for tonight's show, guys. Make sure you're checking out everything that we have over at campusdecanton.com, the website, the podcast feed here, the YouTube page, all of it. Check it out. You know, plenty of membership options available for you. You can kind of mix and match the things that you want out of a membership with us. Head over to Home Field Apparel. I haven't said this in an episode or two, but go head over to Home Field Apparel. Use promo code campusdecanton for 15% off your first purchase over there. I'm wearing my Hawaii Rainbow Warrior sweatshirt tonight. Con, are you wearing? Let me guess. No, you never are when we're recording.
I'm not. It's a thing now. I can't wear it when we're recording now. It's a thing.
You disappoint.
I had it on this weekend. Sure I had the App did. State one that you got me on.
Oh.
The kazoo band, the kazoo marching band.
That is a funny one. We'll be back next week, guys, with another episode of Campus Life. Until then, I'm Austin.
And this is Colin.
Have a good one.